When someone is hurt in a truck accident, the one question everyone has is, why did this terrible collision happen? To answer that question takes an experienced team of lawyers and experts. Not everyone has this type of experience. At Colombo Law, we are truck injury lawyers. It's what we do every day. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris out on the screened-in porch having a great time. I'm not going to say I'm having a great time. My man Anthony Sylvester, Skip, he's over there at the station, pressing the ones and twos. And I told you, we got Boom Boom, Maddie Boom Boom Leach on the other side. What's up, Maddie? How you doing, man?
Not too much, man. Trying to stay cool like you on these hot summer days, man. But feels good to get a little sunshine. It feels good to continue to get some more of that good news that we have about, you know, the NBA looking like they're coming back. The NHL looks like they're going to just jump right to the playoffs. It looks like the NHL and the Players Association were able to come to some terms, or it looks like they're seeing the same kind of ways here for them coming back. And then, you know, it sounds like hopefully we'll be having, the college football players report back, or, you know, start some either voluntary workouts or things along those lines all across the country. So, like you said, J-Mo, it's not back to normal just yet, but this new normal is at least starting to set in. And so we got some light here at the end of the tunnel.
No, you're right. You're right. Sources are saying that, and these are sources, Alabama, their players are reporting, you know, the SEC opened everything up and they're allowing players to come back now and everything, that, and this is just sources saying, I read this in one of those Roll Tide books, 5 players contacted the COVID-19. So what's going to happen? Alabama refused to confirm or anything like that. So they have not denied it, but they have not confirmed it either. But I'm just saying, something like that happens, what do you do? So you still have to be careful. You still have to be, cognizant of things that are going on around you. Like you said, it's the new norm.
You're absolutely right, Jamie. And I think I even read something, again, it was just, I don't know if it was on SportsIllustrated.com or ESPN.com, but read something about an Oklahoma State football player having, being tested positive. I don't know if they were back on campus or if it was just him at home personally, but you're right. This is something, you know, obviously we are going to have to continue to monitor, continue to deal with. It seems like we have been able to take enough steps moving forward where, again, like the NBA, they're taking some drastic measures, moving all of their teams to one location. You know, I'm sure that they're going to have ample testing. They're going to go to the nth degree to make sure that they are self-quarantined down there, whether they bring the players' families with them or whatever the case may be. We're having to take some extreme, somewhat extreme measures, but I think that certainly the leagues wouldn't do it if it wasn't beneficial for them. Obviously, they lose a lot of television revenue, gate revenue, without the sports league being up and running. So it's great to see that we were able to make some great steps forward with the NBA, hopefully the NHL, and then, it seems like with college football. But like you said, Jamie, we've got to continue to monitor these situations very closely because, again, more so a student athlete, Jamie, than a professional athlete. A student athlete getting sick, and if heaven forbid, where they were, we lose a student athlete because of it, something along those lines, that could be absolutely devastating. So we've just got to continue to monitor it. We listen to health officials, the people that we respect. We listen to, our governor, and when we are able to move forward here, we will keep doing that. And again, it gets all of us excited because it's that light at the end of the tunnel that we've been waiting for, not the old normal, but like you said, a new normal for us.
Right. I mean, that's the good thing. I mean, you hit on a lot of things, but I want to talk about Throwback Thursday. That's what I want to talk about. ESPN is running that game, the Colorado-Michigan game, 1994, the Cordell Stewart throw in the air where it got caught. I don't want to talk about it. I know where I was. I don't know if you know where you were, Matt, but I know exactly where I was. I was in Washington, D.C. I was sitting on my couch, and I was watching TV.
I know where I was, J-Mo. I was in the stadium. We were at the game. Fortunately for me, I was still just young enough where I didn't have quite the memory, didn't have quite the knowledge of the game where I was able to, you know, take in all of it. But, oh, man, do I remember that place going deathly silent. Were you? Oh, man. It was one of the strangest things I experienced as a kid where, you know, I'm so used to being at so many Michigan games growing up. Fortunately, I lived only about a half hour away growing up, so I got to be at every home game. And that one, oh, boy, well, you know, it will always stick out because, you know, even though I was too young to appreciate so much of the game, just I had never experienced anything in my life where it had just flipped at a sporting event in that point where it had just flipped on a dime just like that. And oh man, it was nobody knew what to do. And as a kid, I was, you know, we're looking up at our parents and we're trying to, you know, it was just, we're trying to understand the gravity of the situation and nobody knew what to say. Nobody knew what to do. You know, so that it's a tough one, certainly one that, you know, there's a reason why it's a Throwback Thursday. It was a great game, a great win for a Colorado program that was up and on their way where they had, you know, had been one of the premier programs in college football. And, you know, unfortunately, they snuck up and they got us. So it certainly stings with Michigan fans, but hey, it's the price, you know, we've got a lot of last second victories that we love and we cherish. And so there's going to be a few of those blemishes and, you know, it's tough, but, you know, I'm probably not going to watch it. I might have to text my boy Chuck Winters and give him a little bit of a hard time since he's going to be back on, but
I'm not touching that one. I'm leaving Chuck alone. I'm not talking to Chuck on this one. Chuck's my boy, and I don't want to bring up anything to him about that game. I joke with Chuck with a lot of things. This will not be something I joke with Chuck with.
Yeah, certainly not. You know, it ranks up there. You know, even like I said, even though I was young, it ranks up as one, you know, one of the toughest moments in Michigan history as a Michigan fan. For me, I think I've got a few more that I would put above it, but it's certainly one of the toughest. It's hard losing a hard fought game like that, a big one at the beginning of the season. Again, when you, Jamie, as you know, you play the game long enough, you see everything. And for all the greatness that goes along with being these premier programs like Michigan or Ohio State or Florida, Georgia, you know, all the big ones, for as many great wins as they have, they undoubtedly have some heartbreaking moments like this. So it's unfortunate that, you know, ESPN, you know, it's part of history. It happened. So it stinks to have to, you know, look back on it. But, you know, it happened, and we move on.
No, but, I mean, it's a classic. Let me say this. When you look at it, it's number 4 Michigan at the time versus number 7. Colorado. So it's not like Michigan's number 4 and you're going against a number 15th ranked Colorado team. You're going against a top 10 teams going against one another. So you expect an all-out war. I'm sure when you're at the stadium, sitting on the couch, I'm like, I know we got this. Just knock it down. That's the word. Knock it down, right? And it just got bounced around. There's no way, and I said to myself, there is no way that they can catch this ball. And it turns out it happened. So, I mean, like you said, it happened. We move on from it, but it's history. And it's a part of history that Michigan's a part of, you know?
we can't say it didn't happen. We can't say what, you know, it happened. You know, I was the same way as you, Jamie. And again, I was a little bit younger at the time. So just thinking, all right, you know, hearing everybody say we got to knock it down. And, you know, I didn't know all the players on the team, but I knew this guy, Ty Law. And I saw his number kind of in that vicinity. So I thought for sure he would get it, or, you know, one of those Michigan guys would get it. Because again, you and I, we always have the benefit of the doubt. We always think we're going to make that play. We always think we're going to get it. And unfortunately, that was one that we just didn't. But Jamie, since we are on the subject of a throwback Thursday, I got to ask you a question about two throwback Michigan Wolverines.
Okay.
One of them being yourself, and the other one being my man, Heisman Trophy winner, Desmond Howard.
You've been talking to your roommate?
I have been talking to my roommate, and he happened to send me that Sports Illustrated article where Desmond talks about that he came in as a running back and that he thought, I can play running back in the Big Ten because they got this small, I forget what the exact quote is, small running back, Jamie Morris, and he was pretty good. And so I had to ask, J-Mo, what do you think about Desmond calling you small?
I ain't have a problem with that. I mean, hey, I was fit and trim. I was looking good. I mean, I was a ball of muscle. I'm not that anymore. But I'm saying, I mean, look, was right.
Base,
Michigan. I'm trying. I'm gonna keep working on it. But what I'm saying to you is, it inspired that young man that he could play in the Big Ten. And if that's what that did to him, look at what we got. I'm just saying. And the coaches, as I said, coaches will move players around. Now, I'll give you another. John Colazar came in as a running back too, but he got moved to wide receiver also. So I'm saying to you, coaches bring you in, they get the talent in, and then they see what they can make with that talent. And it worked out for Desmond Howard, Heisman Trophy winner, right?
I guess so, man. I thought you were going to say he wasn't tough enough to play running back.
Look, some of us can take the pounding, some of us can't. But the ones that can't, they play wide receiver. You know what I'm saying. I mean, back in my day, they called them wide blockers.
Yeah, I know. I know under Bo that's what they were. But then obviously Desmond, you know, incredible, incredible career here at Michigan, incredible story. And I say that, I joke around because I know you guys have nothing but love and nothing but respect for one another. And, you know, that's a lot of people, even still Michigan fans, didn't know that he came in as a running back. And, you know, like a lot of great athletes in high school, played multiple positions, but he was a running back and probably, we don't know, but probably could have been a pretty effective one.
I think so. I would like to think so. But you know what? The great thing is that Coach Moeller made a big move with him. And he, look, Desmond Howard made some great plays at the University of Michigan in that wide receiver spot. So, I mean, they made the right change. I think they made the right move with him.
Who's a better returner, you or Desmond?
Well, Desmond is. I did it because I needed the first hit of the game. Desmond did it because he was good at it. I'm not going to lie to you. Why would I lie?
J-Mo, give yourself a little bit more credit than that, my man. You were pretty good returning that ball.
I was okay, and I had my fun when I did it. But I'm not going to, as I said, I'm not going to tell you untruths. I'm just going to tell you, hey, back as long as, look it, as that young man, when he was growing up, he got a chance to see somebody of my stature being able to play in big-time college football at the University of Michigan, and it inspired him to come in and say, I can do it too. That's honor in itself. That's humbling, if you think about it.
I was just going to ask, J-Mo, that's got to make you feel pretty good. You know, in retrospect, because, again, it was something incredible that you did, regardless of what your stature was, when you leave Michigan as the freshman, you know, the freshman record holder for rushing yards and the all-time leading rusher, that speaks for itself. But again, to do it at $1.73, I can't remember what Musburger says you weigh as we come into the show and stuff like that. But you know, it's incredible what you were able to accomplish. It shows, you know, again, I think, you know, one thing you and I love talking about, because you experienced it playing and I experienced it being the son of a former player, the brotherhood and the camaraderie. And it's not just, you know, with teammates, and it, you know, you and Desmond, guys, you guys happen to overlap, or you guys had some years, but the camaraderie, the inspiration from teammate to teammate, from guys in the older generation. And Jamie, you even talked to me growing up about how my father inspired you with his play here at the University of Michigan, how you loved it, and it was one of the things that you loved and aspired to play like, with that tenacity, with that aggression. And so it's amazing to see Desmond, and you know, he's done a great job with everything that he's done, obviously, with his pro career. I love talking all the time about, you win Super Bowl MVP as a kick returner, are you kidding me? But incredible things he was able to do in that pro career, the incredible things that he's done on College Game Day, and the job that he's done with that and everything since. So it was great to hear about that, and yeah, Isaiah had to make sure that, you know, we gave you a little bit of a hard time.
That's fine. I look forward. Let me say this. I look forward for Isaiah to give me a hard time, and you think you're different? I look forward to you giving me a hard time. It's not. Look, as I said, it wasn't what the way I read it and the way you guys read it were totally two different things. I'm like, this guy's honoring me. He saw me being able to play there. I can play there. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I read it was, wow. If Jamie can do it, I can do it. He's proven that it can be done.
The way I read it,
like Gordy Bell playing, I was inspired by Gordy Bell.
Mm-hmm. He was a great one. I read it and I said, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Because isn't it? Desmond's not too big as I remember. But you know, again, two great Wolverines, and this is the great part about college sports. Being able to give each other a hard time about this, to, you know, nitpick between, who was the greater, this and that, you know, it's all good fun. It gets me excited for college football back around, and, you know, I'd rather talk about that than that game in 94.
No, you're right, but there's something that's going to be on the night, so I'm giving Michigan fans an alert. Hey, don't, if your buddy who's an Ohio State fan, a Michigan State fan, a Wisconsin fan, or whoever, calls you and says, hey, you guys stink. You guys got beat on a Hail Mary. Just say, yeah, but they're showing ours, not you. I see our school on there. Where's yours? You know?
You hear it from any Michigan State fans, just say, oh, Braylon, oh, Braylon. That shuts them up right there. You got to think of maybe some Ohio State ones and some different games like that. But again, Jamie, you played the game long enough, it's bound to happen. You know, I was a part when I was in school, the one that stands out, Mario Manningham with the last second catch to beat Penn State, one of my favorite experiences of Michigan football. It was incredible to witness it. It was my freshman year, my older brother was a senior, we were watching the game together. It was something I'll always remember. So, again, you know, we have plenty of those great Michigan memories, so I'm going to start thinking about those and as we get ramped up for this football season. But, again, Jamie, it's great to see sports seemingly are coming back, as well as the rest of the world. So we get to look forward to college football. We get to look forward to this NBA coming back with their, I guess, mini regular season with the eight games and then the playoff seed. So what do you think about that? Do you think that they got it right with the teams that they chose to bring back and everything like that?
Oh, yes, I agree totally. I like the format they're doing. They're going to give you eight regular season games. You get a chance to see the players, let them get in to somewhat basketball, you know, get used to one another again. To experiencing them to come together as a team, and then we go right into the playoffs. Oh, by the way, if they're one game apart, I mean the 8 and 9 teams are one game apart, you get a little mini playoffs there too.
I love it. I think that that's a great idea. Not necessarily stealing the idea from the Major League Baseball, what they've changed with the wild card format. So if that is successful, Jamie, and we do have some really exciting games, don't be surprised if you see that become part of the playoff format moving forward with the NBA. I agree with you. I heard you and Skip talking a little bit earlier about, you know, not bringing back the teams that aren't in playoff contention, quote unquote, don't have much to play for. But, you know, for me, just being that basketball purist, I would like to see all of the teams finish out the season. In particular, my boy Vince Carter down in Atlanta, you know, I remember him playing in North Carolina coming up and, you know, having a 22-year career in the NBA and some of the different things that he was able to do. I would love to be able to see him finish out the season. I think it does make sense, the format with the 9 teams from the East, the 13 from the West. So I'm happy to see it back. I do wish that they could have a way to incorporate all the teams. I do know the teams that aren't being invited down to Orlando will have some sort of other fall league or something to kind of bridge the gap where they won't have such a gap between the end of the 2020 season or their 2020 season and the 2021 season. So I do think they got it right. I do wish that we could find a way to include everybody, but ultimately I'm just happy that they found a way to finish the season. And my big question, Jamie, is what's going to happen? Is my boy Kevin Durant going to be ready to help Kyrie Irving and my boy Caris LeVert hopefully steal a title?
Sounds like he's well ahead of his injury, and he'll be ready to play next season. So yeah, I think the opportunity for him to play now, you know, he will be a little timid in the beginning because anybody who's had a torn Achilles is like that, and you know, you really have it in basketball. I'm going to say in college and pro. When someone gets an injury like that, you don't see them come back 100%. Now there's been some play. I mean, Kobe. Look at Kobe. I mean, was he the same after he tore his Achilles? I mean, you could say he was in the latter of his. I mean, in his years. But I'm just saying, it's always tough to come back. So, you know, the good thing is Caris and Kyrie are young. And, you know, if Kevin Durant gives them, if you can get an 85-90% of Kevin Durant, I mean, that's almost better than everybody's 100. I'm just saying.
How many points did my boy Caris drop before they close us up? Was it like 57? Something like that? He's ready to carry the team.
You're right.
Give him the ball. He's ready to go. So, again, no, I'm excited.
I agree with you. That's why I said.
Oh, yeah. No, and I know you do, Jamie. And so it's great to see, you know, it's for us Michigan fans. We have a lot of Michigan players that are currently playing in the NBA. So it's going to be great to see some of them continue to play. It's going to be great to have the new normal, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be great to have sports back on TV. You know, there's so many things where we are, you know, starting to move forward in terms of this pandemic and the way that we've been dealing with it, and hopefully the way we'll be able to move forward. We do have to be smart, Jamie. We're not, you know, just because, you know, I think it's Monday is when the stay at home has been lifted or whatever it is. Just because that's the case doesn't mean that everyone can go crazy and wild and everything. We still got to be smart with, you know, our professional athletes. I'm sure they're going to be tested, but like you said, Jamie, with our student athletes, they are student athletes, and that's what comes first. We have to make sure and keep the students safe. And like you said, that's one thing I'm curious about, Jamie. What happens if we do start moving forward and then one of these players comes down with a COVID case? How do we handle it? So that's going to be something I'm sure that these schools, these teams are preparing for. So we'll just have to see, like, all of this craziness that's going on. We'll have to see how it shakes out.
Yeah. Well, we got to go, but Matt, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll have more things to talk about, other things, and we'll go from there. Appreciate you coming on, Boom Boom.
Can't wait. And hey, man, I got your back with Desmond any day of the week. He ain't got nothing on you, J-Mo.
I'm not worried about that. That's Matty Boom Boom Weech. We got to go to a break. We come back on the other side. We got John Borden from the Wolverine. That's right. I said John Borden from the Wolverine. You're listening to the M Zone.